And good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for tuning into The Burning Truth. I am your host, Casey Hendrickson. Joining us on the line is Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita, who was actually just in these parts not that long ago, did a nice little expose on his report about what happened during COVID. Attorney General Todd Rokita, how you doing, man?
Casey, great to be back with you. You did a great job at that meeting. Some called it a political rally. I don't think it was that. It was a citizen meeting. People 4 years later are still concerned about the how they were misled, you know, by their own government in this during this what I call the Wuhan virus. And I learned so much from you. And I didn't know what your role was like in the beginning of all this. I appreciate you mentioning that. I was in town for that, and we did our report on the erroneous Department of Health data. And I hope your listeners have gone to that report. It's 30 pages, and it details not only the 145,000 death records that we've looked at to find problems with, but the over-reporting of positivity rates by our own Department of Health. But you day in and day out, as I learned, going through there and reminding people of the situation and what their duties as citizens were and are was the real value add to me.
Well, and we appreciated you doing it because, you know, a lot of the stuff that you were able to uncover in your investigation was stuff that we had and were able to report. And a lot of it was publicly available information as well. Some of it was public health officials getting caught not telling the truth and that sort of thing. But, you know, having a legitimate government body do an investigation into it and validate the work that we did was extremely meaningful. And everybody was very appreciative that you were able to come out and present that report. So thank you for doing that. Now, a lot of other things going on too, man. You have been absolutely busy. Let's talk about the education portal thing. Like, we've got a big battle happening with some school districts here, and it's kind of even caused a rift among Republicans and conservatives and that sort of thing. But, you know, it looks like DEI around the country is starting to dwindle a little bit. You got 30 states that have proposed some rules to reduce it or eliminate it in public education. Over the past couple of years, there's been a reduction in the amount of DEI offices and jobs that are available in the United States. So, I mean, it appears that maybe there might be some movement here. And I think that the education portal is extremely valuable, considering we just had an undercover investigation in the state of Indiana, which showed dozens of Indiana school districts hiding critical race theory, hiding DEI from parents, from the public, and even from school boards. So I think that's a perfect example of why we need the education portal. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the reason we did it. First of all, let me just say, I don't disagree with you that the pendulum on this DEI and the CRT, this wokeness, right, that's in our corporate world, that's our kids are getting indoctrinated with, it's all around us, sometimes even in our own churches, believe it or not. The pendulum might be slowing or even moving back a little bit, but here's the thing. It's doing that, in my view, because they know right? The corporatists, the elitists, the woke mob, whether it be the media or elites, they know they overreached. And so they're dialing it back a little bit. They're going back in their shell a little bit. But make no mistake, it exists. It's there. And we got to keep it in its shell, you know, if we can't even go further. The moment we let up, they're going to pop right back up and out, and we're going to have this issue again. So a lot of what tying that thought into the Eyes of Education portal, I'll start from the current and go backwards. I'm not taking any of that down. Now, we don't just throw anything up. We validate that it came from a school in Indiana, but the attack shortly after we launched the portal. Remember, the portal is this website that's attached to my official website at Attorney General's office, Indiana Attorney General, and it lists school districts. If a parent or taxpayer, whoever, sent something in about what was being taught, we validate that. We tie it to the school district. We post it so everyone can see it, because that's how you empower parents to make sure that their kids are being brought up the right way, which is the parents' job, not the government's, not the schools. So immediately after we did that, Casey, the same people, the same kind of folks, school administrators, leftists, others, that originally had said, oh, we don't teach that stuff here. That's not in Indiana. Those same types of people were saying, oh, well, we don't teach that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it, right? But the reason I'm not taking it down, now they can respond to it and say, we don't teach that anymore, and I'll post it. But it's not going to come down as long as I'm your attorney general, because for two things, we can't allow bad history to repeat itself, and we have to know what these school districts, at least at one point in time, were capable of. Because if we don't keep the pressure on, they're going to pop back up and out, just like the head of a turtle.
Yeah, and let's, again, for the audience out there, let's not forget that they were saying that they weren't doing it before, and then they got caught on hidden camera intentionally hiding it from the public, which is why something like this was important. And correct me if I'm wrong, Attorney General, but didn't they ask for public school teachers and things like that to give their lesson plan so parents can have it? My kids go to private school, and you know, I'm lucky that the Choice Scholarship helps with that, but for many years it didn't. I had to pay for that. I get a rundown every single week of what my kids are going to be learning in the classroom, and I find it hard to believe that a public school teacher wouldn't be able to do the same thing.
Exactly. No, I'm not aware if the legislature had made that a requirement. I don't think so. Maybe it was a bill.
They tried to. Yeah,
wrong,
it failed.
But yeah, yeah, and yeah. There's no excuse for that not to happen. I mean, there are a lot of good teachers out there, and I want to pay them $1 million. Just let me get rid of the bad ones. And there's a lot of bad ones, and it's very hard because the teachers union is the most, some say, the most powerful union in the state of Indiana. Their offices are right across the street from the state house, and so they physically, with where the building is, it imposes on the state house, and so there's a physical and psychological effect to that. But I don't understand why that union's so powerful. I don't think it should be. I don't know what some are so scared of. But the fact of the matter is that teachers are hired help. I don't mean that in a denigrating way. I mean it in a respectful way. But the fact of the matter is, it's parents' job, and only the parents' job, to raise their children. A big part of raising children is educating them. And so it's okay to have hired help do it, but you got to manage the hired help. And so you have every right and every responsibility and every part of the moral code to get any information you want, and all the information that pertains to your child when you have hired help teaching them.
You were also recently on Fox and Friends. You were talking about the Bank of America debanking issue, and Bank of America is not the only bank, certainly, that's been doing this, but they've had some other issues, turning over January 6 information without a warrant, that sort of stuff. You know, when you have a debanking issue, what is the role that an attorney general can play for their constituents to protect them against debanking because of politics or some other reason?
Well, I'll tell you, these are private companies, so you could argue, and as a fiscal conservative and a conservative generally, we don't want to have a government have a heavy hand in how private businesses are run. But when you're talking about credit card transactions anymore, that's a commodity. And the fact of the matter is, when you're selling a commodity like that, it's a service, but it's something that is widely available. It's hard to function in society without using the service, this commodity. And when you're in the business of providing such a service, you have to provide it to everyone equally. And so not doing that, picking and choosing, doesn't mean you get to rely on, oh, this is a private company, we can do what we want. Because it's so far infiltrates and is intertwined, I should say, with our everyday lives. You know, how many credit card transactions do you complete a day?
Right.
Or money transactions, and how many of those are, what percentage of those are credit cards? So the fact that you would debank a business means that you would cut that business off from being able to be utilized by your customers. And we're going to fight, you know, there's all kinds of legal theory and principles that would stop you from a big bank like Bank of America from doing that. And that's what the attorneys general that I was part of, a group that led this letter, which will turn into a lawsuit if behavior doesn't change. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, between a congressman or a senator writing a letter and me writing one, frankly. The congressman and senator letters rarely even get responded to. If you don't respond to ours, it's going to start, you know, it's going to end up in a lawsuit. And so there's a big difference there. So we're hopeful, and we expect the behavior to change.
And again, we're talking with Attorney General Todd Rokita. You've been one of the most active attorneys general that I can remember in my political career. Is anything on the horizon that you want Hoosiers to pay particular attention to that might be coming out of your office?
Well, this is Wednesday. So I guess we have two more days in the week. No, I absolutely love my job. It's the highest honor of my life to be able to serve this way. We're fighting, that's for sure, but we're fighting for your liberty, your personal responsibility, your freedom, for you to grow your family and for it to be prosperous, and not only financially, but morally, so you can thrive. Because that's the only way, Casey, we're going to be able to keep this free republic free. I truly believe that to be fact. I know it to be fact. Free republics like this one are hard. You know, you have to watch your city council. You have to go to your school board meeting. You have to watch your governor and attorney general and everyone else. And no one should escape that, not even me. You know, but it sure beats the alternative, which is outright socialism, where it's really kind of, in a way, very easy for you, very easy for people. They have no responsibilities. They have no choices. They are subjects. And every time it's been tried, people have ended up dying, starving, and bleeding in the streets every time in the world history. Now, this is the best design for government that the world has ever known. And I'm not giving it up to some to now a couple generations of people who've been indoctrinated in bad education to think that socialism now is some magical way forward. It's terrible. And I will fight to my dying breath to stop it from happening.
Attorney General Todd Rokita, thank you so much, man. We do appreciate the time. I know you're short on it, and you made time for us, and you squeezed us in. We're very appreciative of that. So thank you for the fight. Keep it up, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, Casey, thank you for your work. See ya.
We got more coming up next. You're listening to The Burning Truth.
Podcasts by Federated Media.